May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We heard in the children's talk a little bit about the will and the understanding being married in youth. And our story was from the building of the tabernacle and how the Lord, through Moses, called to everyone. And listen to what it says. And Moses called to everyone wise in heart, to whom the Lord gave wisdom in his heart, everyone whom his heart lifted up to come near to the youth to do it. So we have two key parts there at the end. The Lord gave wisdom in their heart, and their heart lifted up to come near to the youth. So two parts. The first, the Lord put wisdom in their heart, and then their heart lifted up to the youth. This is paralleled in the story of the mustard seed, a seed planted in the earth that then comes up. Where do our affections for good and truth come from? If we hear, thou shalt not steal, and we feel, yes, that must be true, because stealing hurts and destroys. Or if we hear, God is one, and we feel, yes, that must be true, where does that affection for truth come from? It's planted by the Lord as a seed into our hearts. The Lord is continuously planting those seeds into our hearts. But that doesn't mean the seeds bear fruit. We must water them, tend to them, weed the garden of our mind, and let fruit come up. So that is our part. To tend the garden of our mind, the field of our mind, to make sure that the good things get the truth that they need and are fed so that we might do some good. Moses, in this story, represents the Word. And the Word is what is calling to our affections. By reading the Word, those good things implanted by the Lord can be stirred up and inspired if we let them, but only if we let them. So the Lord has implanted something good in all of us. And the Lord is calling to us to let that good thing grow, to use the good affections that he has given us and the truths that he has taught us to do something good for our neighbor. We heard in Heaven and Hell what youth is. So far as a person lives in accordance with divine order, according to divine order, so far as he is in love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, so living in order and loving the Lord and the neighbor, to that extent, his actions are uses in form and are correspondences by means of which he is conjoined with heaven. Think about that. Those good affections for truth that the Lord has implanted in you, when he calls that up and you live by it, you're conjoined with heaven. Now, The passage goes on to say that if you want to understand how a person on earth can be both natural and spiritual, see number 57, which we read from. Inasmuch as a man does good, the natural world is subordinate to heaven. So think about that. The world around you is not inherently good. It's flawed. It's broken. It's natural. People are inclined to do all sorts of evil. They're inclined to lie, cheat, steal, murder, commit adultery in greater and lesser forms. But when you choose to shun an evil in your life, heaven is in charge. And in your sphere. If in your home you respect marriage, or if in your life you never lie, cheat, or steal, it affects all those around you. And in that small way, heaven is in charge. Because the kingdom of heaven is not just a place that good people go when they're dead. It's also the Lord's kingdom in the universe. So, inasmuch as a natural man is living a good life, he is bringing heaven to earth. He's making heaven in charge of earth. So the church can be heaven. Inasmuch as we hear the Lord calling our good affections and put them into use and thereby love the neighbor, then heaven is in charge of that part of our lives and in that part of the world. It is an amazing thought. Every generation, people are born anew, inclined to evils of every kind. But in every generation, the Lord is planting those mustard seeds again and again, calling to the good affections that we all have. So we can ask ourselves, what good affections do I have? What do I understand? And what use can I do with it? Now for the children, we gave a very simple guideline. Look in the natural world, and if nobody's interested in you doing it, maybe it's not useful. Now the writings call this immediate good. Something that's useful for guiding children and the simple. I might suggest that we should be like children, and we are simple. Now, it is true that there are many wonderful, useful things that aren't clearly in demand from people. For example, nobody pays you to work at a soup kitchen. Nobody pays you to smile at your neighbor. Nobody pays you to obey the Ten Commandments. But they're still good and useful. But you can still ask yourself, if I am loving the neighbor, if I am serving use to the neighbor, then I can look to that neighbor and see, what do they actually need? What do they really need? What does the Lord ask of you? It's not to live in the mountains as a hermit. There's a special place, a special hell for hermits. Don't go to that hell. The Lord is calling you to love your neighbor through shunning evils as sins and then doing good for them. So look to the affections of good that the Lord has given you and the truth that the Lord is teaching you and then ask, what good can I do? For surely the Lord calls us all to his kingdom. Amen. now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever.